Ever imagine a cyber attack so bold it takes out a country's communication right as a war breaks out?
It's like something out of a movie, right?
Totally. But that's exactly what we're diving into today, February 2022, the Viasat cyber attack.
And you're right to point out the timing, because this wasn't just any attack, it was planned down to the wire, perfectly timed with Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
Talk about upping the stakes. So for those of us who don't speak fluent cyber, Viasat's a big deal, right? Not just some local internet company.
Absolutely not. We're talking global satellite communication, serving a huge range of clients, including, and this is key, both civilian and military.
Ah, there's that dual use we always hear about. Okay, so paint the picture for us. What went down, and what was the immediate fallout from this attack?
So February 24th, 2022, same day, Russia rolls into Ukraine. Viasat's KASI network, the one beaming internet across Europe, goes haywire.
Haywire how?
Tens of thousands of modems, especially in Ukraine, but other parts of Europe too, just go dark.
Offline.
And we're talking the middle of an invasion. That's got to be crippling.
Crippling is putting it mildly. Ukraine's military, they rely on this network, right?
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, their ability to coordinate, communicate, even gather intelligence, it's all severely disrupted.
So a well-timed cyber attack, in this scenario, it's as disruptive as, say, taking out a key bridge or a command center in a traditional war.
Exactly. And I think it really highlights how warfare is evolving. You know, cyber attacks aren't just an afterthought. They can be a strategic first strike, even before the first shot is fired. Wild. Now, earlier we mentioned Viasat's all about satellite internet, but this attack, they didn't go after the satellite itself, did they?
But that's where it gets really interesting, because you're right. Instead of aiming for the satellite up in space, they went after what connects to it all those modems users rely on.
Huh. Seems kind of roundabout. Why not just take out the satellite itself? Bigger impact, right?
Well, think about it. Attacking a satellite directly, one used by multiple countries, especially during a tense situation, that could be interpreted as an act of war.
And we're talking potential Article 5 territory, NATO getting involved, things escalating rapidly.
Precisely. By hitting the ground stations, they disrupt the service. So chaos. But it's a bit of a legal gray area. Harder to retaliate proportionally when it's not a direct attack on a sovereign nation's assets.
Sneaky. But how do you even take down tens of thousands of modems all at once? What did this attack actually look like from a technical standpoint?
Okay, so imagine a 1-2 punch. First, they slam Viasat with the classic denial of service attack. Overwhelm the system with junk data, disrupt service.
So like clogging a phone line with prank calls so no one else can get through?
Perfect analogy. But this was more than just a nuisance, because while everyone's busy with that, they slip in the real weapon, a nasty piece of malware dubbed Acid Rain.
And this Acid Rain, this is what fried all those modems.
Exactly. This thing was designed to brick those modems, make them about as useful as a paperweight.
Okay, so denial of service as distraction, Acid Rain for the knockout. But how'd they even get this malware into Viasat's system in the first place? It's not like they just sent out a mass email with a dodgy link, right?
You'd be surprised. But in this case, they were more targeted. They found their way in through, and this is almost too common, a misconfigured VPN appliance.
Okay, time for a tech breakdown. VPN, that's a...
Right, so imagine a VPN as like a secure tunnel your device uses to connect to a private network. Vital when you're using public Wi-Fi or accessing sensitive stuff remotely.
Doof, if it's misconfigured, it's like leaving the door to that tunnel wide open.
Exactly. And unfortunately, way more common than you'd think. People focus on fancy security, forget the basics.
Which in this case had huge consequences. So the attackers used this security flaw, got into Viasat's network.
And once they were in, it was game over. Free rein to move around, plant their malware, and launch the attack.
Target. Check. Two-pronged attack. Check. Weigh in. Check. What about who? Who's behind this? So we've got this sophisticated cyber operation going on, but who are the masterminds behind it? Did anyone actually step forward and take credit?
Well, in the world of cyber espionage, things are rarely that straightforward. No one publicly claimed responsibility.
Typical. So how do we even begin to unravel who's behind it then?
Digital breadcrumbs, my friend. Investigators got to work analyzing the attack, and pretty quickly they started noticing some familiar patterns, a certain calling card.
Intriguing. So who were they seeing on the caller ID of this attack?
The evidence, and let me tell you, there was a lot of it, pointed directly at Russia. Or, more specifically, a unit within their military intelligence agency known as the GRU.
GRU. Wait a minute. That name rings a bell. Aren't they the ones who've been linked to a bunch of other cyber espionage campaigns?
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. They've been making quite a name for themselves in the cyber espionage world.
So what kind of links are we talking about? What makes them the prime suspect in this case?
Remember that acid rain malware we talked about? The one that bricked all those modems?
Yeah, the digital wrecking ball.
Well, it turns out that acid rain shared some striking similarities with another piece of malware called VPN filter.
VPN filter, vaguely familiar. Remind me about that one.
Right, so a few years before the Viasat attack, VPN filter was used to target network devices, mostly in Ukraine, actually. And guess what? Security researchers had linked VPN filter to, drumroll, the GRU.
So it's like finding the same unique graffiti tag at multiple crime scenes.
Exactly. A digital fingerprint, if you will. But the similarities don't stop there. Remember that vulnerable VPN appliance that gave the attackers their way in?
The open door to the network, yeah.
Right. Well, investigators dug deeper and found out that SkyLogic, Viasat's partner in Europe who managed that network, they were using FortiGate VPN appliances.
FortiGate, that name sounds familiar too. Wasn't there something in the tech news a while back about security holes in their stuff?
You've got a good memory. Around the time of the Viasat attack, a bunch of vulnerabilities in FortiGate devices were made public. And get this, one of those vulnerabilities involved. Leaked credentials.
Ouch, leaked credentials. That's like leaving your keys under the mat and tweeting about it.
Exactly. It's like a welcome sign for any cyber criminal with half a brain. And the unfortunate truth is, a lot of organizations, even big ones like Viasat's partners, they don't always prioritize those basic cybersecurity practices.
And in this case, it seems like that lapse in security had some pretty major global consequences.
Mm.
Okay, so we've got a suspect, a motive, and a method. But let's talk about the why. Why target a satellite internet service during a land invasion? Was it just about disrupting communication within Ukraine, or was it something more to it?
Disrupting communications within Ukraine was definitely a big part of it. But the attack's reach, it went way beyond that. Remember those 500-800 wind turbines in Germany that suddenly went offline?
Wait, those were connected to Viasat too. I had no idea the impact was that widespread.
Oh yeah, the ripple effects of this attack were huge. And while those turbines had fail-safes and weren't completely reliant on Viasat, the fact that they were affected at all, it exposed a whole other layer to this attack.
So it wasn't just about gaining a tactical edge in the conflict, it was also a show of force, a message.
Potentially, and yeah. A pretty chilling one at that. It was a stark reminder that in our interconnected world, cyber attacks can have serious real-world consequences that go far beyond their intended targets. Even a regional conflict can have global implications.
So where does that leave us? What are the key takeaways here?
Well, on a practical level, this whole situation underscores how critical cybersecurity is. Regularly updating systems, strong, unique passwords, multi-factor authentication, these aren't just things for techies to worry about. They're essential for everyone.
Yeah, because as we've seen, even a single vulnerability can have massive ripple effects.
Absolutely. But it goes beyond that, too. This attack forces us to rethink how we approach warfare and international relations in this hyper-connected world we live in.
It really makes you think, doesn't it, about the bigger picture here. I mean, we've got the immediate disruption, the impact on people who rely on Viasat, but then there's this whole other level of cyber warfare and what it means for all of us.
And that's why this attack is so significant. It goes way beyond just some technical glitch. It's a real-world example of how cyber attacks, they blur the lines, right? Suddenly, wind turbines in Germany are offline because of a conflict 1,000 miles away.
Like a digital bomb going off. Even if you weren't the target, you're caught in the blast.
Exactly. And that raises some serious questions. If someone's willing to do this, what's to stop them from doing it again on an even bigger scale?
It's like we're all just living on this digital frontier, and the rules are still being written, except the stakes are unbelievably high.
Yeah. And like any new frontier, there's huge opportunity, but also huge risk. We can use this technology for good, for communication, for progress, or we can use it to create chaos and cause real harm.
So what do? Do we just unplug everything and hide?
We can't just unplug from the digital world. It's too integrated into everything. It'd be like saying we should abandon electricity because someone might build a weapon with it. The key is finding ways to manage the risks without stifling innovation or our freedoms.
Sounds like a tightrope walk. How do we even begin to do that?
It starts with awareness.
Yep.
So people need to get it. Basic cybersecurity hygiene. It's not optional anymore. And organizations, they've got to make security an ongoing priority, not just a box to check.
So all the stuff we hear but tune out. Strong passwords, updates, two-factor authentication,
It might sound like a broken record, but it's a broken record for a reason. People need to listen. But it goes beyond that, too. We need to be talking about this as a society, about the ethics of cyber warfare, about working together globally to establish some rules, some boundaries in this digital space.
So it's about more than just building better firewalls. It's about building a sense of shared responsibility for this digital world we're all part of.
Exactly. Because ultimately, cybersecurity, it's not about protecting data. It's about protecting our interconnected world.
Wow. That's a powerful thought. Well, I think that about wraps things up for this deep dive. Big thanks to you for breaking this all down. It's been enlightening, if a little unnerving.
Anytime. These are important conversations to have.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening, thanks for joining us. Until next time, stay safe both online and offline.